Hello and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Dale. Wrong show. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, but we do have Jerry and Debbie with us first hour. As a matter of fact, we just have a fantastic couple of hours of radio. Second hour, we're going to talk about the Second Vatican Council with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. And maybe you've taken note of the fact that many people are unsatisfied. Well, I mean, I can't think of anyone who is satisfied with the state of the church today. And there are many, many people who are saying, well, that we could trace these troubles back to the Second Vatican Council. We'll explore that idea with a man who knows very well the history and the contents of the council, and we'll get some insight into whether or not the council was a good one or a bad one or an in-between one. But that's all second hour. First hour, we're going to talk with Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani, the hosts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie that airs twice a day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, noon at midnight. You can hear it. So if you miss the noon one, just turn on midnight. It'll be on again. They have a new book out called Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. And maybe you've got you're like me, and at least some or maybe all of your children have grown lukewarm in the faith. Maybe they've walked away from it entirely. Maybe you have another friend or family member who's struggled in or wavered in or given up on the faith, and this is very painful. And so what Jerry and Debbie did was they gathered up stories about families that have coped with this situation, some successfully, some unsuccessfully, and they share those stories with you in Truthful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. You're welcome to call if you have questions about getting through this kind of family crisis, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Jerry and Debbie, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us back.
Yes, thanks, Cy.
Did I scare you with my Take Two with Jerry and Debbie? But I could do that, though. I could get up in the morning and I could just do the announcement at the beginning. I could be like your Ed McMahon if you want.
Right.
I could just.
Right. Yeah. We'll think about it.
Okay. Yeah, you sound like it. That was the most obvious brush off ever.
Kidding.
Okay, it's true. I share this story with many other people. I mean, not all of my children have fully embraced the glories of the gospel. They don't all go to Mass, and it is very, very painful. But you on your program, you let people talk about these things, and you hear these stories all the time.
Yeah, I'll just offer a couple comments on that. Yeah, as most people know who know me and also know Debbie from Catholic radio over the years, they have heard us not only on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, but also Debbie and I have traveled the country for many years hosting Catholic radio pledge drives. And a couple things that stations do, Cy, you know this, when they take people's calls and their pledges, they say, do you have any favorite programs? And two, or do you have any prayer intentions? And the runaway number one prayer intention is please pray for my children, my husband, my wife, my siblings, my whatever. You insert relation right there to come back to the church. This is a 100% across-the-board problem. I dare anyone to call right now and say, I don't know a single person that I love who's away from the faith, because we all do. Debbie, I could hog this whole show, but Debbie, jump in there.
I completely agree, and that's exactly why we felt the need to bring these stories together like you shared so eloquently, Cy. Thank you so much. Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis, and there are 11 stories of listeners like all of us to Catholic Radio who have these exact same problems, and we brought it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and brought it to these real life stories so that other people can find hope and encouragement and kind of just breathe a sigh of relief that they're not alone in this, in what's happening with their loved ones.
Yeah. What do you think of the strategy of saying to your children, I'm the host of Catholic Answers Live, you have to go to Mass? What do you think about that?
Let me know if that works, because I've tried that as well with my kids. That doesn't work.
Thus far, not.
You've already given away how effective that is, Cy. Yeah. So you're going to have to come up with a new one. Like maybe, free sneakers or, tickets to a concert or something.
But there is a kind of parental shame that can come with this. Like, I messed up. What did I do wrong? That, this kid is, I mean, I say kid, but, 25 or something, and has not been able to embrace the truth of the gospel and the necessity of the sacraments.
Right. And these 11 stories share exactly that, of this idea of carrying this weight around of embarrassment, you know, shame, you know, not wanting to talk about it, you know, depending on if you do work for the church or you work in Catholic media or something of that nature. But the other thing too is we hear this all the time from our listeners, that they want to get to heaven and they want all of their loved ones there, their children, their grandchildren, their right. siblings, and they're really afraid that they're not going to see them. And that's a really, that's a scary place to be at.
It is indeed. If you find yourself in that place, 888-318-7884 is our number here. You're welcome to call with your questions. We'd be delighted to have you involved in this conversation. 888-318-7884. Okay, so what's your, I don't know, go-to answer? I mean, maybe there isn't one. I don't know, you know. But somebody says to you, what can I do? I just am heartbroken that my child is not going to Mass. How do you respond to that person?
Well, I can offer a thought on that, and Debbie, you too, because you know, you have children. I don't, but I think that, you know, so many times parents will say, you know, what did I do wrong? I didn't do enough. You know, I wasn't a good parent. I should have gotten them more religious education, instruction. Should have, you know, made them go to Mass when they're living in my home and so forth. And the reality is that, to me, is a recipe of a great parent. You know, any parent who says, well, I did all of this, and what did I do wrong? Don't focus on what you did wrong, what you didn't do. Realize that the seeds are planted. Once they are baptized, the graces will work in their lives. They may deflect some of those graces when they start to get into their teens, 20s, and a little bit older. But those seeds of baptism and confirmation and having received the Eucharist, they are still there. The Holy Spirit is continuing to water them, and they're going to meet somebody along the line. It may not be mom or dad who convinces them to come back, but it could be, you know, the most unlikely person in the world, you know, workout buddy at the gym or somebody at work or something like that. So be hopeful. Be hopeful. That's the key, I think.
I completely agree with that. I think Jerry said it so beautifully. You certainly don't want to hit them in the head with a catechism. You know, you don't want to do that because that just pushes them away.
All right. I won't do that again.
Me either. I know you and I are in the same boat with our kids. But, you know, it seems like it happens across the board, which that's the beauty of it, is that we're all kind of in this together. And if we learn more about it, the other thing, too, is we always stress is that, especially through these stories from our listeners, it has come out that perseverance in prayer, enlisting an army around you of guardian angels and saints, you know, Saint Monica. Catholic radio played a big part in helping loved ones come back to the faith. So many things like that. And I think if we continue to do the next right thing for our loved ones, and we have to patiently wait and trust in the Lord. It's in His timing. And as we know with Saint Monica, as everybody knows, I mean, she waited a lifetime, right? But then look what happened with the transformation of St. Augustine. So you know, there's so many things we can learn from these stories. But I think the best thing I know when I've read this book three times. It's you want to read it in one sitting. It's amazing. You can't put it down because these stories, we ask them to be really raw with these stories. We didn't polish them up. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing everything behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It is important, right?
Yeah.
And I feel kind of at peace. I feel at peace that God's got a plan. Like Jerry said, the right people are going to come into my children's lives, and you know, hopefully that'll bring them back into the faith. And they are baptized, so I take comfort in that they're marked for Christ forever.
888-318-7884, our number. Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani are the hosts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie twice a day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, your calls are welcome, and let me just look a couple, two lines open, so you have time to get in. If you have a question for Jerry and Debbie, we'll take calls for Jerry and Debbie right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The world over with Raymond Arroyo. Coverage as seen through a Catholic lens.
All people of faith and sincerity need to awaken to this and protect this fundamental right of religious liberty.
Expert analysis.
Does revelation judge history, or does history judge revelation?
Stories vital to people of faith.
It's part of our faith that comedy and tragedy naturally go hand in hand.
Delivered to your inbox every week. Sign up today. Go to EWTN.com/worldover.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don't forget that store-wide sale continues. Hundreds of items, 10 to 25% off. Some stuff all the way up to 50% off. And I'm talking about everything. Ebooks, MP3s, CDs, books, DVDs. Even the School of Apologetics courses are on sale right now. And with whatever you buy, if it's something that, if it's an item that gets shipped, you get $5 flat rate shipping if you live in the continental U.S. Go to shop.catholic.com right now. Take advantage of the store-wide sale still going on over there at shop.catholic.com. Our guests are Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani. They host the Take Two with Jerry and Debbie each morning. And again, a rebroadcast at midnight on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Jerry, of course, is the founder of this radio program of Catholic Answers Live and its longtime host, and was just telling me that they used to put the show out on tapes. Like a little cassette tape.
Yeah, yeah. For anyone under about 40, they won't know what that is. But
no. I almost couldn't remember the word when I was trying to say it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cassette tape. So you could just throw it in there with your Fleetwood Mac, you know, just pop out that Fleetwood Mac and throw that in there. A bunch of calls for the two of you. You feel ready for calls?
I think we are.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry and Debbie have a brand new book available from EWTN Publishing called Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis, all stories about families who have faced what we face in my family, what you may well face in your family, at least one or maybe more of the kids not yet associating themselves with the Catholic faith, with the sacraments, and it's heartbreaking. And your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. We'll start with Mary in Arlington, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mary, thank you so much for your call. Your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I actually listened to you two on Take Two when you introduced this topic, and I should have bought your book then when I heard it. But listen, one of the this is near and dear to my heart as well as my husband, and one of the things that we have read that, you know, parents of today are also up against is not only our kids falling away, but society as a whole having moved away from any sort of, you know, church going spirituality, presence of God in our lives. I mean, our TVs don't, you know, commercials, programs, I mean, just everything in our culture has moved away from this, whereas the culture used to support our faith to a greater extent. And I'm just wondering if you might address that subject or if you have found that to be true.
Okay. You want me to take a shot, Deb?
Is that making
sure.
any sense?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, Jerry, you go first, and then I have something right after you.
It makes all the sense in the world, Mary. And I don't know how old you are. I'm not asking. But if you're old enough to remember Archbishop Fulton Sheen on TV, he and Milton Berle would go toe-to-toe for the number one ranking on all of television shows across the United States. This was probably back in, I think, the 1950s or something like that. So, yes, we had, the Leave It to Beaver families. We had the society, the culture that was still respectful of God and still had a very, very much had a place for God. Little by little, slowly, God has been kicked out of everything, the schools, entertainment, media, you know, all sorts of social societies and organizations. Now you've got social media that are actively anti-Christian in so many ways. And so it really, it's hard right now. To really look to society for any answers right now. We have Catholic radio on the air and Catholic mm-hmm. television, and we must support these things and keep these on the air because they're really, quite frankly, one of the only sources that we're going to get a clear picture of not only the church and what she teaches, but the church's take on society through the eyes of our faith and through the eyes of God. But Debbie, go ahead and You can add to that, I'm sure.
Well, don't get me started with this, Mary, because this is really, it has bothered me ever since I kind of went deeply into what's going on in college campuses, the indoctrination, the what's happening in the culture that you brought about in society, and how we are being mocked as Christians. Look at Bill Maher on HBO mocking Christianity and Catholicism judge, you know, the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, making fun of it like it's something to be ashamed of and something that we should feel like we're part of a cult and something that's meant, there's something mentally wrong with us if we have strong spiritual values. And this is what we're up against, Mary. We're up against this in the world and on the campuses. And even now it's filtered down all the way to elementary schools. And I hate to even say this, but it's true. It's happening on Catholic campuses as well. Okay, we have a real problem. And the way, in my humble opinion, and learning from this book, because remember, this book has the real stories of folks that have siblings, kids, grandkids, parents, everybody who have put God on a shelf. So you have this, all these different aspects. I think the way we're going to compete against this and the way we're going to combat it is through prayer, but through living our faith joyfully, for letting it come out through us and radiate to change our own families and our own neighborhoods and parish communities first, and then let it spread that way. Because, Jerry, you know this. How many times have we had our listeners call and they said, my kid goes off to school in August, they come back for the first break and from college, and all of a sudden they don't believe in God. Now, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. It happens because they're being overwhelmed with the other side, you know, and so of course they're going along with the pack. They're going along with the group think. And you know what? Here's what I personally think. If we act like and we live like we've won the spiritual jackpot, right? Which we should. Yep. I believe that that's going to be so attractive to our young folks that they are going to want what we have. But the problem is there's a lot of grumpy Catholics walking around, and that's not a good thing. So be authentically Catholic, live out your faith, and be joy-filled. That's my little recipe. What do you think, Mary? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was doing take two.
No, but I love the don't be a grumpy Catholic. That's hilarious. And as sad as this all is, I mean, in a sense, it's comforting to know that I feel like my parents had it a little easier because, you know, not that life back then was necessarily easier, but they had an easier time of making sure we would all stay in the faith, if that makes sense. And now I feel like it's, you know, we're up against double duty. I'll try not to be a grumpy Catholic.
you don't sound at all grumpy, Mary. That's hard for me to imagine Mary as a grumpy Catholic. Thanks, Mary. Thanks very much for the call. Jerry and Debbie are our guests. They are the hosts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And they have a brand new book called Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. You can get it from EWTN Publishing. And it's stories, they get down into the dirty about what happens in families and the pain and the struggle of passing on the faith in this time. As Mary just said, when virtually none of the institutions of society are supporting you or helping you as a parent. Let's go to Mike in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Mike, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you so much for what you guys do. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. And I got a question. It's a little troubling. About a year ago, my son, he's an adult, and he let me know that he was homosexual, and I loved him through it and continue to communicate. We have a great communication with each other. I've given him, you know, my belief as a Catholic and let him know that I love him no matter what, and God loves him no matter what, but I don't agree with his lifestyle. Just recently, he asked to come home for Thanksgiving to visit and wants to bring his partner and wanted to know if he could spend the night. And so I am struggling on how to deal with that, wanting to be loving but not wanting to condone their lifestyle. And so I'm really struggling with trying to keep the relationship with him, but you know, making some type of statement or stance that, you know, I don't agree with the lifestyle. So
yeah,
just Mike, trying to get some guidance on how to deal with it.
Right. All right. Jerry and Debbie.
Yeah, Deb, you want to offer a couple thoughts? I have some too, but go ahead.
Well, Mike, I was just going to say that's a really tough position as a parent. You love your child, and you've expressed that to him many times, and so he knows that. And now he is kind of pushing a little bit to see how much you will accept. But, you know, you have your beliefs. You have what you know is true by God. Okay, and if you have the choice to compromise those beliefs and to allow certain things to happen in your home, or you have the choice to be able to hold on to what you believe and still lovingly have the relationship with your son. But he needs to understand that as well. Everybody's got free will. Okay, he's not a little boy anymore. He's a young man. Okay, and you're saying that, you know, he wants to bring his partner to I think you said Thanksgiving. Okay, but I believe you have the right, and you should uphold those teachings, because here's the thing: when we start compromising the faith and what we know is true by God, we start chipping away at everything. It doesn't stop there. That's always been the problem. When somebody compromises one time, they end up compromising 10 times within the next couple years. And then you say, what happened? Now they're not even Catholic anymore. Okay? So you can do it in a loving way. And the truth can come across in a beautiful way. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, like, oh, if I tell him how I feel or what the church teaches, he's going to cut me off. It doesn't have to be that way. He needs to accept responsibility, and you need to accept, you know, what you want to do in your home. And I think things can work out that way nicely. It doesn't have to be something that's really tension filled. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I agree with all that you said, especially the part about the kind of the incremental things that are going to be popping up for you, Mike. Like, for example, you know, this is I presume it sounds like the first time he wants to come home and be a part of Thanksgiving with this partner of his. And then what happens, you know, when Christmas rolls around, and what happens, you know, they probably live together right now. What happens if they get quote unquote married and they want you to attend that? And I mean, it's got to be very, very tough. You have done the right thing. You've done everything right, it sounds like, by supporting him, loving him, keeping the lines of communication open for him. But let's face it, at holiday gatherings, there are always generations of people. You've got the grandparents, you got the parents, you got the kids, you got the grandkids. And it just creates, I think, a confusing scenario, if you will, especially, you know, when you want to make sure that any of the young kids in the room are not getting, you know, improper ideas about the nature of human relationships. So I don't know if anything that we have shared is of any help to you, but I just echo what Debbie said. You know, you got to be firm in what you believe, and at some point you've got to take a stand, and that may be this Thanksgiving, and maybe somewhere in the very new future.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, it's tough, and I agree. Just been, you know, trying to find some guidance on it, because it is very tough, because I want to keep the line of communication open with him, but he knows my thoughts. I've shared it with him, and I'm having a tough time. You know, it's your son, and so you
right.
want to be able to, you know, keep that line of communication. But he needs to know. And like you said, I'm not, you know, not going to condone a marriage. I'm not going to condone any of that lifestyle. Having a tough time.
I mean, I wonder, Mike. You don't have to answer this question, but I mean, how many of us as Catholic parents, if the daughter said, I'm bringing the boyfriend over for Thanksgiving, would just say no? That's just not what we do in this house. And you know that. You know that since
right.
you were raised as a child. So
Anyway,
that's just my two cents. I think you've gotten good advice, Mike. You just sound like a wonderful father. I mean, mm-hmm. I praise God for fathers like
Thank you.
Just love your boy and the love just comes through. I mean, it just comes shining through you. But the clarity is part of the love, Mike. And God bless you. Thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate it. And Jerry and Debbie, what, all the lines full on a Monday? What's up? What did you two bring your audience with you? Or is this your family members calling? All right, we got another Mike. Mike in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Listening to EWTN Channel 130 Sirius Satellite Radio. Nothing going on in Pennsylvania. Nobody's no presidential candidates going through there every day. Nothing like that. It's all quiet in Pennsylvania. Hi, Mike. Does Mike know that we're with him? Hi, Mike in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Nope, he's all right. Am I? Oh,
well,
hang
you
on.
See, Si, the lines may be full, but that doesn't mean they want to talk to us.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm pushing the right button either. Mike's probably been talking, and I just had the wrong. Mike, you're there, aren't you?
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Yes,
go ahead.
I am.
Oh, perfect,
Hi.
Mike. I finally got you on right when the music starts. This, now, first of all, that's just bad, what I just did there, but it's worse because Jerry's here. All right? It's worse because the founder of Catholic Answers Live is here. You got to hang on, Mike. We got to do these messages, and then we'll come back and continue with Jerry and Debbie, the hosts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, daily on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and the authors of a brand new book about helping family members who have lost the faith.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, we're going to talk about the Second Vatican Council. As a matter of fact, lots of people who are distressed about the state of the church point back to the Second Vatican Council as the cause, the origin of the current troubles in the church. Is that fair? We'll tackle that with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio in the second hour. Right now on the line for Jerry and Debbie, our guest Mike in Allentown, Pennsylvania, who I made wait so much. Mike, go ahead with your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
My son and his recent bride, who were both Catholic, baptized Catholic, and raised Catholic, decided to have their wedding ceremony at an off-site venue rather than be married by a Catholic priest in a Catholic church. So prior to this wedding, I shared my concern with his and her decision and even took them out to dinner one night to try to softly persuade them of why it was important for them to be married in the church. But got the typical, well, it's our wedding day and this is how we see fit. So I'm trying to think of means or ways to get them in front of a Catholic priest to be properly married in the Catholic church, and wanted to hear your guidance, your advice.
I can go with this one first, Jerry, because sure. I did a lot of work with engaged couples. Mike, your son and your daughter-in-law, these destination weddings, they're the in thing right now. They're totally in, and everybody's doing that, right? What I would say to them as a married couple now, okay, is that, you know, you did what you did. You got married the way you wanted to get married. Just keep this in the back of your minds. Would you do this for me? And see if they're open to it. If they say, yeah, Dad, we're open to it. Tell us what you have to say. Well, when you start to see the cracks in your marriage, because you will, because marriages are hard. When you see the cracks in your marriage and things just don't quite feel right, just know that if you had done it the way we know to be the sacramental way, you would have had added graces that would have helped you get through those tough times. Added graces may not always work because people have free will, but you would have had those added graces. So when you start to see those cracks, and you will, please pick up the phone and call me, and we will get in front of a priest and we will hit the reset button and do it the right way, the sacramental way. And I would put that out there to them.
Yeah, they're very good. You would have made my rehearsal dinner speech even deeper. I brought up the fact of being the father of the groom. I had that opportunity, and I brought up the fact of your faith being your rock.
Amen.
And heck, I'm on my second marriage, and first one was absolved by the church, and I got married a second time to a Catholic lady. And I shared with them, you will go through difficult times, and if you both aren't on the same rock of your Catholic faith, it's going to be very difficult. So that's good advice. I appreciate that.
He sounds surprised, Debbie, that you gave good advice. I don't know why.
That's 30 years of religious education, Mike.
Mike, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Jerry and Debbie are our guests, and their brand new book is called Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. It's available from EWTN Publishing, and it's about the topic that we are covering this hour on the program, those family members who have fallen away or have not maybe quite ever grasped the significance of the faith and why it should be the center of their lives, not something far at the periphery. You're welcome to call with your questions for Jerry and Debbie, 888-318-7884. We go now to an anonymous caller in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio there in Nebraska. Anonymous, go ahead with your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have three sons who are out of the Catholic faith, and I pray for them every day. I've prayed for them for, over 30 years now. And I struggle with praying for them anymore because I get so depressed and so hopeless. And so I know I don't pray as I should. And because I know they have free will, and sometimes I think, what can God do? You know, he's offering the grace, but if they don't take it, and I just worry about their souls so much that it just overtakes me. Mm. So I don't know. I guess I need some encouragement or some hope.
Yeah, if I can just take a swing at this one, Anonymous. First of all, don't feel like your prayers are ineffective. Don't stop praying. That would be the one thing that the devil wants you to do right now. You know, Satan wants us all to go to hell. And when we pray for each other, we're remaining united. You know, the branches in the vine. And the way I look at it, every human crisis is a divine opportunity. You've got your three sons. You are agonizing over them. But if you look back, I guarantee you, you did what we said for that first caller. You raised them Catholic. I'm sure I have no doubt about that. They got their sacraments. They know in their minds and in their hearts is the truth. And when it could take a difficult situation in life to bring one or more of them back. It could just take, like I said before, maybe meeting somebody that they never would have imagined would be an on-fire Catholic. You know, and who also, you know, goes rock climbing and likes rock music and stuff like this. They're going to encounter those people in their lives. But don't stop praying because, see, there's really when we're praying for people, loved ones who are away from the faith, there's two effects that happen there. There's the prayers, the graces that are going to them, but God also may want to do a work in our own lives as well. In your life, for example, maybe this is your path to holiness, is bringing them back through your sacrifices and your prayers. So don't underestimate what you're able to do, and know that God is on the job. Okay, you talked about what can God do because they have free will. Well, God can move the will, and He will. In the cases of your sons, I really believe that. Debbie?
Mm-hmm. That was very well said. I just want to add too, and this also goes back to Mike in Baton Rouge, if you're listening still, Mike, for you too, Anonymous, please enlist your guardian angel. Your guardian angel's right there to help you in your vocation as a parent. Okay, so when you get too weary, when you are too tired, and you just feel like these prayers aren't working anymore, ask your guardian angel to pick up the slack and help you out with everything. They will work with you. They are there to journey with you on your path to salvation, and also they're there to illuminate your mind, strengthen your will. They're there to guard you, guide you. They're there to help your loved ones, because guardian angels do communicate with your son's guardian angels. Ask your guardian angel to go to their guardian angels. I mean, the heavenly realm is working on our behalf and helping us. We just don't utilize it enough. We don't call upon an army to help us with everything when we get so tired, because we're seeing everything. We want to fix it, right? You want to fix it. As a mom, you just want this to be done with. You want them to be back in the Catholic faith. Sure, we do, right? But God sees the whole picture, and He stands outside of time, and He sees the whole thing. So we just keep doing the next right thing, the next faithful thing, and let your guardian angel help you with that, okay?
Okay. I have done all that. I've prayed to my guardian angels, their guardian angels. I've prayed to many, many saints for their help, and I probably will never stop praying for them till the day I die. Mm-hmm. But my problem is that this weight that I get on my chest and my whole body, it's so hard, and it's such a struggle to pray for them. I don't know. And so there are days when I will do my daily prayers and I will just stop, because I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. If I may offer, it's making me think about Mother Teresa, you know, the great saint of the 20th century. And we all found out after she died that she spent 30, 40 years feeling in a way that she describes very much like how you're feeling. It doesn't mean that her prayers were not productive. As a matter of fact, that might have added to the productivity of her prayers. But that feeling of emptiness, that nothing is happening, that no one's there listening. I'm not saying that that's what you're feeling exactly. I'm just saying that this is can often actually be a sign of the Lord's presence and His insistence that we just keep acting as adults and not fall, you know, as like we're His adult friends, and He expects us even in hard times. And to do that has tremendous spiritual rewards. So I just want to throw that in there. But Jerry and Debbie, go ahead.
Well, if I can add one other thing, and Anonymous, I want you to take this the right way. I want you to take this as a way of giving yourself permission to be free of this burden. And that is, who died for the salvation of your sons? You or Jesus? And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean, you're putting so much pressure on yourself.
Amen.
Jesus has this. When we say on the Divine Mercy Chaplet, for the sake of His sorrowful passion, when we're offering our loved ones and we say, Father, I offer you my loved one in communion with your son's sorrowful passion, that God cannot say no. I really believe that. He cannot say no, because you're simply saying, Father, for your son's sake, will you do this? It's like God saying, no, Jesus didn't do enough. No, Jesus has done the work. Free yourself today, Anonymous. Don't lose the concern. Don't stop praying, but free yourself of that weight that you're carrying around, that is burdening you, and that is keeping you from living the life that God has for you to live. So please,
Amen.
I hope and pray you take that the right way. I say that in love for you. I really want that for you.
Okay, Anonymous.
Pray to the Holy Spirit to help me to do that.
Praise God.
Good.
Praise
We're
God.
Praying
Good
for you too. All right, we're praying for you as well.
That's why Jerry and Debbie are the authors of this book. That is that kind of helpful spiritual insight and wisdom. I'm sure that you will find it that way as well if you find yourself picking up a copy of Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. It's available now from EWTN Publishing. You can also listen to Jerry and Debbie every day at noon or midnight Eastern Time on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more calls for Jerry and Debbie on helping that family member to come back to the Lord who loves them.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host with the founder of Catholic Answers Live, Jerry Usher, our guest, along with Debbie Giorgiani. They are together, Jerry and Debbie, the hosts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We have their presence, well, because it's always fun to have them here, but also because they have a brand new book, Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. And it's a get down into the nitty gritty kind of book to give you ideas, but also to give you hope when you are facing the situation of a family member, maybe a child, away from the faith. You can get it from EWTN Publishing. And that you were just saying just before we came back, the website is Jerry for EWTN Publishing, EWTNRC.
EWTNRC.com, or you can go to EWTNReligiousCatalog.com. But if you want to have an economy of typing, you can just go to EWTNRC.com.
Oh, and Jerry, and for those of you watching at home, don't, if you're watching while driving, just don't, okay? But if you're watching at home, Debbie's holding up a copy of the book, Trustful Surrender. So many calls. I'm going to keep moving. Let's go. We got to go to Canada next. I don't mean got to go to Canada. We get to go to Canada next. Lydell, are you there with us?
Yes.
All right. Your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Well, the last caller covered a lot of it, except it's three daughters instead of three sons with me.
What? Maybe they could meet. Oh, sorry.
I was just thinking. Well, two of them are married, and the other one's working on it.
Okay.
But my two older daughters, they never really committed themselves to Christ. You know, like a personal relationship with Christ and all that. I thought they might stay with the faith for a while there. But I really didn't hold out a lot of hope for them to stay in the church, simply because I just knew them too well as in their late teens and stuff. They just weren't into it. But my youngest daughter was totally into it, totally spiritual. I don't know, you just name it. But she was not in the Catholic church. It was in a Pentecostal church. And she ended up marrying a Pentecostal guy who was an assistant pastor for about 12 years. And all of a sudden, she gets into this New Age thing, and she left her faith totally. And I don't know what to do.
Okay, so is that what you would like, some sense of what to do now? I think this is as common a story as can be nowadays. You wish it wasn't, but this is... probably the more common story is, especially in their 20s and late teens, as Lydell said, moving away from the faith.
She just turned 34 the other day, and this all started about 2.5 years ago, maybe.
With the New Age stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry and Debbie?
Like at the time, when she first changed, like it felt like a total death. It felt like a death.
Oh, yes, right. Of course, right. Yeah.
Lydell, how is her marriage right now?
Well, it's a struggle, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like her husband was much more willing than I was at the time to be patient about it, because being younger, he thought that it would just be a phase. And with my experience as an older person, I'm like, it's not just a phase. My oldest daughter, it wasn't just a phase. My middle daughter, she just always been on the fence. She's a very nice person, though.
Right.
It's not just a phase. Like, it's often not just a phase.
Right. So this is exactly what we have in the book with these real life stories of the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's these wonderful siblings and children and grandchildren and parents even that stray away from the faith, get off of the path, and they keep kind of going off the path into these things like New Age principles and Buddhism and Hinduism and all sorts of things. What are they doing? They're searching. And they're trying somehow to figure out what works for them. But again, going back to what we talked about earlier, when these graces, you know, when they stop, when people out of their own free will stop these graces from flowing. Okay, I use the analogy, Jerry knows it all the time, about this of like a kinked garden hose. You know, when you kink a garden hose and the water will come through a little bit, but it's not the same thing. It won't help you water the lawn or water the garden, right? You really have to have that unkinked and have it flowing really well to have that be of a force that can really help take care of a situation. Okay, now that's a garden hose, but the same thing applies with grace. And the more we stop the graces from flowing to us and through us, the more we end up searching for more things to try and fill it and try to fix things. And we get into a mess. That's the way it works. So what I would do if it were me, Lydell, is I would live out your faith joyfully and fully. Express it not so much in words, but just how you present yourself, and let that radiate so that because she's searching for something. And in fact, all three daughters are as well, because the truth is in Jesus Christ. Okay, so they're searching for something, and let that radiate from you. I would also pray Lady Undoer of Knots multiple times, and I'd get other family members who can join you in that, because there's strength in numbers. And I would ask your guardian angel to help you with this, and to go to her guardian angel to really try to illuminate her closed mind on this, because New Age, that path is a very dangerous path. You're opening the door to so many things, and they're not good. So that's what I would do. And then I would rest, because you know what? The rest, you got to leave. We do what we can do and let God do the rest. You know, we have to do that. Otherwise, as parents, it'll really work on our minds in a negative way. And that's not what God wants for us. What do you guys think?
I was very mesmerized by what you said, because I do think sometimes we're casual about the New Age stuff, and it's not something to be casual about. I wouldn't add a thing. I hope that, Lydell, is that helpful to you?
Yes, in a way. And it's just encouraging to know that somebody out there is experiencing the same types of things, you know, things that you've said and things that the other callers have said. Because, like I said, this is like a death to me.
It is,
and
yeah.
It's not a, you know, but they're still alive in the body. And I'm going through this grief alone. And the world can't share, you know, like when somebody really dies, people share that grief with you, right?
Right.
I do think this is imagine, Jerry and Debbie, this is a large part of why you produce the book, Trustful Surrender, mm-hmm. because you do feel alone. And even a person who might have other people to talk about it with, you don't always want to talk about it, because it includes a kind of self-critique that you don't necessarily want to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have neither been married nor had kids, but I've seen enough marriages and families to know this, and that is when you decide to get married, that means there is going to be suffering because there has to be death to self in order to please and properly love the other. And when you bring children into the world, there is going to be pain and suffering. It's just it's going to happen. They're going to skin their knee. They're going to bump their nose. They're going to get bad grades. They're going to have disappointments. And so what we need to do, as Debbie has pointed out, is just really do what you can. Do your very best and let God do the other 100%. That's what I like to say. You know, there comes a certain... Well, there comes a certain point. God has a role for us in this, but it's as his partner. You know, he is doing the heavy lifting. He sees your heart, Lydell. He knows it. And you know what? This is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, this is in part to help you grow in humility and holiness. And as you do that, God will not deny you anything. It's like the Blessed Virgin Mary. Anything she asks, it's in accordance with God's will, he will give to her. And what does it say in Scripture? God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. If we ask for that, we're asking for the most important thing that is God's will, perhaps. So you're doing the right thing, Lydell.
Thanks, Lydell. I'm going to go keep moving so we can get as many in as we can with Jerry and Debbie. I did not realize that they were this popular. Diane, I knew you guys were this popular. I'm sorry. In Indiana, listening on 95.7 Redeemer Radio there in Indiana. Diane, go ahead with your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for your work. I appreciate all of you.
Thank you.
So I have a long story, but I won't give it to you. My main question is, my youngest two daughters are 14 and 16, and they didn't make their confirmation. And my husband wants to kind of make them do it through RCIA right now, and I'm getting pushback on it, and I don't know whether to make them do it to make me feel better or if it's good for them, you know what I mean?
It is good for them.
I want them to want to, I guess.
That's fair enough. I just wanted that part I can answer because it is good for them. Every sacrament is good for you. But I don't know what Jerry and Debbie would say to this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would hardly want to get, you know, in between you and your husband on this, Diane. You have to be, you know, you have to be united in your decision on this. The only thing I will say is that there are, Cy mentioned RCIA. It's the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. And there are people who come into the church through RCIA who are all different ages, all right, 50s and their 60s and their 70s, and they receive the sacrament of confirmation. I'm not saying put it off. I'm simply saying if it doesn't happen right now, that sacrament will be waiting for them when they are ready for it. I just don't know if it's worth driving any kind of a wedge into your marriage or into your between you and your kids or anything like that. But Debbie, you have a lot more experience in religious ed than I may have just swung and missed at that one. I don't know.
No, I understand, and that's an option. It definitely is. Can I ask why don't they want to receive confirmation? It's an initiation sacrament, so don't they want to be fully initiated into the Catholic Church, or do they just want to be partially initiated?
We've had we have eight children. Mm-hmm. All the other ones went through Catholic school, so it was part of what they were used to. Our youngest ones we put them in public school because we couldn't afford it any longer, and right. pretty much. And our son passed away 3 years ago, and our marriage has not been good since then.
I'm sorry.
So everything's kind of a mess. And. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Diane, this sounds like a situation, because everything's feels like a mess. I wonder, are you able to talk with a counselor or someone who can help mm-hmm. with grief counseling, or have you already done that?
We've done that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I look to my Catholic radio for...
yeah.
I need my Catholic radio for...
Sure.
Well, I believe in Debbie's diocese, your children would have already been confirmed because they mm-hmm. do it at 7 when they receive First Communion. And
restored order.
I'm not a bishop. The bishops mm-hmm. have to make this decision, but most of them are making the wrong decision. That's all I'm just going to say. I'm not allowed to say that, but children should be confirmed early, not late, so that this doesn't happen, so that they have the grace of the sacrament as children. The whole world is attacking them every day.
Absolutely.
Why are we waiting until they're at the moment of rebellion to give them the sacrament?
Right.
All right, I'm done. Go ahead, Debbie.
No, that was excellent. What, Diane, we at Take Two, we keep a book for the, our living and the deceased. And if you feel comfortable, could you give us your son's first name? We really would love to add him into our book.
His name is Mark. I called your show before.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, absolutely. But I just wanted to say real quickly, Diane, I agree with Cy, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Your girls are going to need those gifts. They're going to need to tap into the Holy Spirit. Please encourage them to receive the sacrament now and not wait till when they desperately need it later. It will benefit them in the long run. That's what I would do.
And I hope we have about 200 American bishops listening.
I agree.
Jerry and Debbie are the hosts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And they have this brand new book, and I hope you will get it if you're a parent, especially struggling with these issues. Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. It's available from EWTN Publishing at EWTNRC.com. EWTNRC.com. Jerry and Debbie, thank you. God bless you both.
Thank
Appreciate
you so
the
much
opportunity.
For having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, it's just always so wonderful to have you on. I'm so sorry we didn't get to all the callers, but Jerry and Debbie do this every day. You're going to have to call their show. We'll be right back.